This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We humans began our journey through this world in a perfect paradise. Adam and Eve were established in the Garden of Eden. They were surrounded by various other God-created creatures and God-created vegetation. In addition, the word of the Lord distinguished between two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're told that both trees were in the middle of the garden, and for all we know, perhaps side by side. Now, there at the foot of the one tree, Adam and Eve were worshiping as they showed their trust of God's word by being obedient to His command. His command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Now, some people have asked me, well, Pastor, if God didn't want Adam and Eve to fall, why did He tempt them in the first place? Well, God didn't tempt them. The Bible is clear, God tempts no one. He didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there to tempt them. He put it there to warn them. He put it there to warn them to not make the same evil choice the devil had made. You see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented the truth that God and God alone decides what is good and what is evil. Why? Because He's our Creator. But if we choose to decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil, what are we really saying? We're saying, God, You can take a hike. We're not going to listen to You. We're going to decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil. That's what the devil did. And so God put that tree there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to remind Adam and Eve to not make the same evil choice the devil made. Don't eat of it, God said, because the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And then Adam and Eve also worshipped at the foot of another tree, a tree known as the tree of life. Adam and Eve would receive the gift of life everlasting from this tree. They would receive the gift of life through this tree from God, who created them and loved them and wanted them and all their descendants, that's you and me, to live in His love forever. The tree of life represented the eternal life that God wanted to desperately give us. So we had two important trees. As man and woman seek to live and walk in the presence of the Lord their God, they worship Him by trusting His word and not eating of the tree that represents rejecting God, so that we can be masters of our own destiny. But as you know, a tragedy occurred. Sadly, Adam and Eve ended up doubting God's word and rebelling against Him. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did this after the evil one known as the ancient serpent. He whispered in their ears, and He says, first, go ahead, eat of it. You won't die. In fact, you will be like God if you eat of the tree. Well, sadly, they trust the lie. They eat. They disobey. And the result is that the worm of sin burrows into their hearts. And all of their descendants would also be conceived with hearts infected with the parasite of sin. And this sin would lead us to rebel against God as well. As a result of our sin, we are naturally separated from God. Because of our rebellion, we are cast out of the beautiful garden where we were meant to walk with God forever. Because of our doubt of God's word, we are removed from the presence of the tree of life. We're told that God put one of His angels that were loyal to Him, known as the cherubim. God put him in front of the tree with a flaming sword to guard the path back to the tree of life, to prevent humans from going to the tree of life, lest they eat of it and live forever in their sinful condition. God cast them out. He exiled them from the garden. He exiled them from life as it was meant to be. You see, God knew that if we ate of the tree of life as sinners, if we were sealed in our sinful condition for eternity, that would be a fate worse than death. Because to live forever as sin continues to ravage you both in body and soul, that would be a curse too terrible to comprehend. So God made a plan to deal with our sin, to atone for our sin, to wash away our guilt, so that life everlasting with our loving Creator could be a possibility once again. But how was God going to deal with our sin? The fact is that we are sinners, and that means we can't do anything about our own sin. You see, the reason we can't do anything about our own sin is that we are the problem, and we're unable to do anything that can solve the problem. As a result of our sin-infected hearts, we sinners are doomed to stumble blindly and bumble helplessly through this life. On our own, we cannot, not even by accident, address the problem of our own sin. And so, life as it was meant to be eludes us. A restored relationship with God is impossible from our end. That's why the Bible says, no one seeks God. But the good news is that God seeks us. He seeks us out to save us from ourselves, so that we can have life one day as He intended it to be. You see, what is beyond our reach is not beyond the reach of God. Even though we cannot ascend to the heavens, God comes down to our level to be our Savior. You see, for just as man was overcome by a tree, so also will God's Son overcome our sin by another tree. You see, the issue, the problem, the devastating disaster of sin requires yet another tree. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who came into our flesh and took on our blood, that He, by shedding His blood, might crush the ancient serpent and pay the price demanded by sin. God's Son came into our flesh because the price had to be paid. Blood. Only blood can pay the price and wash away the guilt of our sin. Only the blood of the Lamb who has no blemish or spot, as we heard in our reading from Peter. Only this Lamb who is the perfect sacrifice, a holy and precious offering. Only the blood of the Lamb can pay the price. And He pays that price on a tree. The tree of the cross, an instrument of torture, suffering, and death. This is the tree upon which Jesus is lifted up. You see, when the Romans crucified people, depending on how many people they needed to crucify on a given day, sometimes they would actually nail them to an actual tree and let them hang there until they die. But even if they were using two wooden beams to make an artificial cross, that wood still came from a tree of some sort. And so the tree of the cross was an instrument of torture, suffering, and death. And that is the tree upon which Jesus, the Son of God, was lifted up. On the cross, Jesus suffers and dies. On the cross, His holy and precious blood is shed. On the cross, Jesus lays down His life. Why? That our lives might be restored. He offers a perfect sacrifice and brings salvation and restoration to God's creation. And so, my friends, God's Son turns an instrument of death, the cross, into a tree of life. His death brings us life, life eternal. Our separation from the presence of God has been ended. Our exile from the tree of life is over. Because through Jesus, through faith in Him, we can have access to that tree of life again. Christ Jesus has taken the sins of all the world to the tree of the cross. And from there, He draws all to Himself. Here's where we learn that God desires the salvation of all. There is no one for whom Christ did not shed His blood. For God so loved the world, the Bible says. So why do some people sadly end up in hell? It's not because God doesn't love them, He does. It's not because Jesus didn't die for them, He did. It's not because God doesn't want them to be saved, He definitely does. What we learn from Scripture is that some refuse to acknowledge their sin, or they try to deal with their sin themselves, but instead of trusting in the only way of salvation that God has provided. God wants no one to go to hell. So if people end up in hell, it's because they've turned their backs on their loving Creator by refusing to trust His Word, by choosing to spend eternity without Him. But God doesn't want that for you. That's why He brought you here tonight to hear about the two trees, and especially the other tree, the tree of death that is also a tree of life. Faith in Christ's work on the tree of the cross reunites us with our God. Through Christ's work on the cross, we are able to receive God's gifts of forgiveness, life, eternal life. We who trust in God and the work of His Son, we in faith gather at the foot of the cross. We gather at the new tree of life, and we gaze upon the One who became sin for us that we might be saved and live forever with the God who loves us. So from the tree of life in the first garden, all the way to the tree of death known as the cross, a journey from life to death, but then back to life again. Because the tree of death, known as the cross, actually reverses the curse. The tree of death becomes a tree of life when the Son of God says, "It is finished." The tree of death has become a tree of life. And because of that, we can live forever with God. And so each day, my Christian friends, we continue our journey through this life, trusting in the One who gave His life for us that we might live with Him forever. We focus our eyes upon that which the Apostle John describes in the book of Revelation. In poetic terms, listen to what John says about the final day and the tree of life. He says, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." This is the life that has been restored to us. Life everlasting with God. Life in the courts of heaven. Life in the presence of the Lamb who shed His blood for us. Life that is ours in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus and His work for us, we get to return to the tree of life by way of faith in the tree of the cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.